Let those who hate him flee before him. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 179. It's June 7, 2015. Well, today, you know, someday all those who hate Jesus Christ are going to flee from him as he comes to judge the earth. Today, our situation is different. Today, Satan rules in the hearts of many of these people, and we must pray with our victimized brothers and sisters that they'll be able to endure what God has allowed from these guys in their lives. I want to read to you today several articles from ICC and VOM about what's going on in the Christian world in terms of persecution. An Iranian pastor serving a 6-year prison term has failed in his appeal against a further sentence of 74 lashes and an additional year in jail for the alleged possession in his cell of 2 liters of alcohol. Now, this latest news about Farshid Fatih was first reported by Iran-focused Wahhabi News on the 30th of May. Middle East Concern reports that the alcohol was found on Fatih's prison ward in April 2014 during a raid by guards when he was in Evin prison. They say that security officials attributed the alcohol to Farshid, who strongly denies the claim. Such cases are usually addressed by a judicial court, but Fatih's case was submitted to the Revolutionary Court. Fatih, who has been in prison since 2010, denied the accusation when he appeared in court in December 2014, after he'd been transferred to Rajail Shahir prison in August 2014. His lawyer's appeal has now failed to overturn the original extra sentence from December. About 60 other Christians, many of them belonging to house churches in Tehran and other cities, were arrested at the same time as he, on the day after Christmas 2010. Most of these have now been released. The governor of Tehran, Morteza Tarnadon, on January 4, 2011, described the detained Christians as extremists who penetrate the body of Islam like corrupt and deviant people. He added that they were trying to establish an extreme form of Christianity like the Taliban and Wabansit, the Wahhabis, in Islam. Fatih, who is a 35-year-old father of 2, was imprisoned without trial in Evin prison. After 15 months of uncertainty, he was tried in January 2012, being accused of action against the regime's security, being in contact with foreign organizations and religious propaganda, according to a source. Details of his court trial have not been published. Iran's supreme leader had made a speech in October 2010 saying that house churches should be dealt with. A new wave of surveillance and arrests against Christians followed soon after, with leaders of house church groups such as his especially singled out for longer detentions. Born into a Muslim family, he became a Christian at the age of 17. At the time of his arrest in 2010, he was working full-time as a pastor and leader of house churches. He's serving his sentence alongside another man who was also imprisoned for 6 years. He was arrested as he was trying to leave the country for a Persian New Year vacation in March 2012, was also transferred with Fahi to Rajani Shahid prison. He's a member, the other prisoner, of a group known as Church of Iran, which holds a non-Trinitarian theology. He was sentenced to 90 lashes and 6 years imprisonment for acting against national security through collusion, gathering, and propagating against the Islamic regime. World Watch Monitor has reported on how the UK's Foreign and Commonwealth Office has previously labeled that prison, the conditions there, as harsh. He suffered a fractured foot and toe after being beaten up by security officials during the raid in which the alcohol was found and attributed to him. Estimates from evidence provided by the American Center for Law and Justice, Article 18 and Middle East Concerns, suggest that in May 2015, there were 90 people detained in Iranian prisons on account of their Christian faith and practice. Well, I'm going to let it go at that. You get the point. Much, much going on for Jesus in a positive way in Iran these days. It could be that Iran is the country of the Islamic world that is seeing the most people come to Christ. That's why you're seeing the enemy very upset with what's going on. And that's why you need to get back to your prayer closet, and so do I, and pray for Iran and for Pastor Bhatti. From Malaysia, a leader there blames Chinese Christians for anti-Hudud move. We'll explain that in a minute. Nik Zawahi Saleh, the wing's deputy, said that a wave of Christian conversions among the Chinese increased opposition to the party's Kelantan Sharia criminal code. Now, this opposition towards Hudud, the criminal code, is not just from those in the DAP. I'm sorry about all these initials. They're not being explained here, all of them. But also from Chinese Christian leaders in Barisan Nasional component parties. This wave has been going on for the last 10 years, said Nik Zalawi in his winding-up speech during the Ulama Wing's assembly. In the past, Buddhists have not opposed our aim of implementing Sharia law, but he claimed that this changed in the past 10 years as more Chinese leaders and Garika started converting to Christianity. When they become Christians, they're worried about Islamic principles being implemented in Malaysia, so they attack us so that Islamic principles cannot be implemented in Malaysia. They're different from Buddhists, who have not attacked us. He added that the party's council, a committee of its most senior scholars, is due to meet and decide over how the party is supposed to deal with this phenomenon. So you got some Christians who are sensitive to the fact that they don't want an Islamic country around them. And so they're saying something. They call that an attack. Now, we know what a real attack is, as is being done to Christians throughout the world. But when these Christians say something, then the Buddhists are tempted to say something too. And so the Islamists are all upset about that. That's in Malaysia. In Malaysia. Two South Sudanese. This is Sudan now. Two South Sudanese pastors are facing possible execution after being imprisoned for 2 months by authorities who arrested them for various alleged offenses, offending Islamic beliefs and inciting organized groups. Pastors Yat Mikhail and David Yain are being held in a jail in Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, where a number of Catholic and Protestant churches have been destroyed recently. They told CBN via telephone that they are prepared for whatever punishment lies ahead for preaching the gospel in the region. Michael says he hasn't spoken with his family for 2 months. He was accused of spying when he was arrested in January. When they interviewed me, they asked me why I'm preaching here. I say I'm preaching because this is my call. I'm a pastor. I must speak the word of God. They say, no, you don't need to preach the word of God with a hidden agenda. I said, no, I don't have a hidden agenda. They accused me of being a spy. Yain said he's not afraid to die, and he believes God chose him to suffer. He asked that Christians pray that their imprisonment be used for God's glory and to bring peace between the pastors and those that are holding them prisoner. Mikhail is pastor for the South Sudan Presbyterian Evangelical Church, and the organization recently said this type of persecution is common in Sudan. This is not something new for our church, said the Reverend Tut Koni, pastor of the South Sudan, that church. Almost all pastors have gone to jail under the government of Sudan. We've been stoned and beaten. This is their habit to pull down the church. We're not surprised. This is the way they deal with the church. Open Doors USA, a Christian nonprofit that aids persecuted believers throughout the world, ranks Sudan sixth on the world watch list of countries where Christians face the most persecution for their faith. The CEO of that group, David Curry, spoke to Fox News about Michael's case last month. This case, in particular, we feel the charges are trumped up. These are just good citizens practicing their Christian faith. But the Sudanese government is using any tactic they can to push Christianity out of the marketplace and out of daily life. And unfortunately, they're having some success. The nation's Islamic government made headlines when Christian mother Miriam Ibrahim was sentenced to death for marrying an American Christian citizen in 2014. The sentence was dropped after international pressure. She has since relocated to the United States. Sudan, put it on your list, I pray, I trust. Government officials now threaten Christians with death as a wave of religious persecution sweeps, guess where? What country? What do you think? Mexico. That's right, Mexico. ICC has learned that a group of Christians in Hidalgo State, Mexico, were allegedly issued death threats in late April by a local government representative. The threats were reportedly made by community delegate Mr. Jesus Dominguez Hernandez, who issued the threats after representatives of the Christian community of a certain village attempted to meet with his office to discuss religious persecution taking place in Hidalgo State. Now, we're all aware of Chiapas. Anyone who follows the persecuted church is aware of the persecution in Chiapas. This is not that. That's a different state. This is Hidalgo, H-I-D-A-L-G-O. Look it up. According to Impulso 18, a Mexican human rights organization, Mr. Hernandez became infuriated during a meeting with representatives on April 24 and threatened to kill all of the Christians present. The threats appear to be only the latest in a series of incidents targeting the Christian minority in a certain village. On April 29, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, a UK-based advocacy group, reported that Mr. Hernandez had previously pressured two members of the same Christian community to renounce their faith. When they refused, cousins Castro Hernandez and Juan Placido were jailed for nearly 30 hours before they were released and told to vacate their homes. Hernandez told CSW, because of the delegates' intolerance, he would not allow us to preach the word of God. He imprisoned me after he tried to force me to renounce my faith in writing, but I wouldn't do it. Extensive research and reporting conducted by CSW UK and a recent field visit by ICC have uncovered large numbers of cases of religious persecution among rural indigenous communities in Mexico that are often directed towards the Protestant minority. ICC conservatively estimates that more than 70 open cases of religious persecution against minority Christian communities, each involving between 20 to 100 victims, currently exist in Chiapas, Hidalgo, and then other states, Oaxaca, Puebla, and Guerrero. In most cases, local authorities appear unwilling to thoroughly address the issue and are occasionally directly complicit in religiously based discrimination. June 1, ICC launched a campaign aimed at raising awareness of the issue and called on supporters to contact the Mexican government to voice their concerns. Included in the campaign is a petition calling for the immediate end to violence against and displacement of religious minorities in Mexico. That can be found online, by the way. Jennifer Salcido, ICC's advocacy manager, said it's time that the Mexican government provide justice and protection for victims of religious persecution while dealing with local and or state officials that are part of the problem. A slow wave of religious persecution has been sweeping across Mexico, and the culture of corruption and lack of accountability that surrounds religious freedom cases needs to end. A free society cannot flourish when religious persecution exists, and this issue has gone on for far too long while the world has looked the other way. Every citizen of Mexico has a right to practice their faith without the fear of being driven from their homes simply because of what they believe. You're free to disseminate this story, and that's what I'm doing. You are free to disseminate it also. Just reference ICC when you do. Go to www.persecution.org to follow up further on this awful, awful thing south of our border. There's a story also that I won't read entirely called Mentally Disabled Christian Accused of Committing Blasphemy in Pakistan. I'll just read the first paragraph since we are out of time. International Christian Concern has learned that a mentally disabled Christian from Pakistan's southern province of Sindh was beaten and charged with blasphemy after being accused of burning pages of a booklet that carried Quranic verses. That's insulting Islam. It's against the law. Desecrating the Quran. It's illegal. Can carry punishments as severe as life imprisonment or execution. In the evening hours of June 4, a Christian man, age 22, was accused of burning pages of that booklet. And it just so happens that he is also mentally disabled. Oh, do pray. Pray for this man. His name is Yaqob Bashir. Yaqob, like Jacob, Bashir. Pray for Jacob in Pakistan. Well, there you have it. It doesn't end, does it? Doesn't end. Tune in tomorrow to our daily podcast as we begin a message by a Mr. Robert Traill. You probably don't know that name. He's from 17th century Scotland. Robert Traill will teach us how God's servants, ministers, can win souls to Jesus. That's tomorrow. Remember, though, for today, Psalm 68:1. Let those who hate him flee before him. Yes, it's coming.